on to another episode of The Definitive Crusade. I hope you all enjoyed Batman Day, and joining me to hear about their Batscapades, as always, random dude Josh. Josh, how's it going?
Oh, it's going. How are you?
Don't you be laughing at my intros. I have revenge if you laugh at my intros.
Hey, I can laugh however much I want to laugh.
Okay, fine. All right.
I'm just happy that you're not wearing like a Green Lantern snuggie or onesie.
No comment.
Or a Martian Manhunter or a Red Hood, because I know you've got one of those.
I would not have a Red Hood in a million years. Stop insulting me. Keep laughing at my joke then. Also, Darius, Freya, how's it going?
Going pretty good.
Pretty good. All right, okay, cool. So as last weekend was Batman weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a quick quiz. Here we go. Are you ready? Knee-jerk answers, if you please. Favorite Batman live action actor, Josh.
Michael Keaton.
Freya.
Yeah, Keaton.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, I like him. Yeah. Hey, childhood man, you know.
Oh, in that case,
he was the best, but he was my favorite because of my childhood. So.
In that case, I'm Adam West. Thanks for that. Cheers. So much better for that now. Woo! Favorite Batman writer, Freya.
Can I skip?
Harsh, Josh.
Oh, Frank Miller.
Alan Grant. There you go. There's a name from the past. Okay. All right. Favorite Batman artist, Josh.
Bill Finger.
Ooh. Snazzy. Freya?
Ooh, that really depends on my mood.
Oh, God.
The colors are nice.
Yeah. Favorite Batman colorist, Adrian Wong.
That's the thing, though, is I'm so nitpicky and kind of...
No.
So
no such beast.
Honestly, I'm just gonna go with recently, who is the one who did Batman Dam's artwork? What was his name?
Good shout. Jim Aparo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old school, what can I say? All right, for the big question. I think I know some of these. Favorite Batman animated movie, Freya.
Into the Red Hood. I really liked with Batman, or was it Into the Red Hood?
Into the Red Hood. Yeah. Cool.
Right. Or Mask, which is good. Or Fantasia.
Mask of the Phantasm. Yeah, pretty good. Good shout, Josh.
Well, shit. She just took the two I was gonna say. Either Under the Red Hood. Or Mask of Phantasm. What the hell?
Phantasm's the best.
You're not sorry. Don't lie.
No.
To be fair, I've got to be honest. I don't think, other than the ones that came, the Batman Unlimited ones that came out, which was the Mecha Monsters and something else. But I'm okay with most Batman animation, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they managed to get right most of the time is Batman animation, just depending on the style. So cool. Yeah. All right, excellent. So big week, Batman Day, and of course it is a continuation of the Joker War, and a pretty big special issue came out. It was Detective Comics 1027, the alleged 1,000th appearance of Batman in Detective Comics, not counting, of course, all the times the Batwoman was the lead and not Batman. So don't tell DC that, because you'll get their knickers in a twist. All right. So this is a mammoth 144 pages worth of bat stories featuring. I'm not going to go through them all, so if I miss you out, I'm genuinely really sorry. But it's got thing creators such as the current group with Peter J. Tomasi, Brad Walker. You've got Brian Michael Bendis. You've got some Matt Fraction. Got Jim Tynion the fifth, fourth. Let me do my Romans. Yeah, fourth. Tom King's in there. Thankfully, not a story you have to read 90 issues of, but you know, hey ho. Scott Snyder's in there as well. Old school Dan Jurgens, Mav Wolfman, and of course, Snyder is also making an appearance. Right, this is one of those books where there's like so much going on, so many different stories. So, Josh, start us off. Was it a good celebration of everything that's Detective Comics?
I enjoyed it for what it was. Uh-huh. Being able to see Batman in all his different iterations. I don't know about you guys, but I enjoyed seeing the Joker dressed up like Prince from the Bat Dance music video. That was the one panel that stood out of the whole damn book, was that one panel where Joker's dressed up like Prince. It was a fun read. It's definitely a big event book. And so you have to go into it with that understanding. It's an event book. So just enjoy it for what it is. This is one of those ones where I did not mind seeing the different art styles.
Uh-huh.
You know, at least each story kept their art style consistent within each respective story.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I was okay with that. I know we've been harsh on art styles changing within a story, but for this, it worked because it was separate stories within the book.
Definitely. This has followed DC's current format for celebration issues. This is the same format for the Robin book that came out, the Joker book that came out, the Catwoman book that came out. It's the same format. You get a bunch of creators known for working with that character, throw them in together, they write different stories, different vibes, you know, so this isn't just one current theme. You've got stuff going back a ways. You've got stuff moving forward as well. Freya, what do you think?
So, I liked a lot of it. Until we got to, let me just say, it's hard for me to, because there's so many different stories from different people in this one. In the first. What's the first story with the Bat Family? I really like that one, except Dick Grayson disappears and then he magically reappears on the last page. So it's kind of like, what happened to
Is that Masterclass? I think it is by Bendis, the one where the checking out the crime scene, yes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That one. Dick Grayson just kind of was there and then he's not. And I completely. I don't know if I misread something or what, but he was just not there in the parking garage at all with Killer Croc. It's everyone else, including Jason Todd, but we can't have Dick Grayson there for some reason. Then he appears magically falling from the sky in the last panel. So I don't know if he was just chilling with Commissioner Gordon or not. I didn't really say. But anyway, I liked the book, but then we got this like one random story that wasn't even a Batman story. It was just
GCP, the Silver Ghost
story, the police story,
the rookie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. At the rookie story, and I was like, why is this even in here? Yes, we know Gotham's corrupt. That's kind of the point, you know.
Yeah.
Like, okay, and so okay, why is this in here? It had no point in being in here. So after that, I was like, whatever. So I kind of skimmed that. And then the last story, I'm not even going to go over because I'm not a fan of that art style at all. So ghost story.
Mm-hmm. So this is a gift by Mariko Tamaki and Dan Mora as the artist. Tamra Bonvillain's on colors and Tom Napolitano is on letters. So there you go. Credit where credit's due. Check me out. Yeah, I think you read those last two stories that kind of lead into things down the line, don't they? They're kind of like the the primer for the next, for the generation storyline, for one thing, and of course the next sort of big arc for Detective Comics is kind of alluded to in there as well. So
yeah,
not I like yet, the as in their own book, I suppose.
I like the panel from, it was Lee Bermejo, or I'm not sure. It was the black and white panel that was done calling reference to the old movie serials. I believe that one's referencing, I want to say 1943 movie serial. So that was cool to see, especially where, like, I've seen 1943 and I've seen 1949's movie serials. 43 was with Dr. Dacca, and then 49 was with the Wizard as the main villain.
All Amazon Prime as well at the minute for us everywhere else. Josh, do you have a favorite story? Chris kind of mentioned the ones I did not like.
I enjoyed pretty much all of it with the exception of Legacy, the one by Tom King. The art style on that was just, Batman's design was wonky as hell.
So the artist,
and I don't know if, yeah.
So the artist on that book was the one story is Walter Simonson, who, or Simonson, depending on how you want to pronounce it, absolute god when it comes to comic book art. I agree though, it does take a step to left field a little bit.
The Silver Ghost story, that one was exciting to read just because it was incorporating Detective Comics number 27.
Yeah.
So
that's good old Grant Morrison pulling his usual fandom, pull everything together type of stuff that he does, which he did Batman RIP, and of course what he's doing with Green Lantern at the minute, which we don't talk about a lot. The art was by Chris Burnham, colors Nathan Fairbairn, and letters by Steve Wand.
Yeah. I like the original costume that was designed not by Bob Kane, but by Bill Finger. And so to see that be incorporated into this, I think it does pay homage to Bill Finger in that respect.
Okay, cool. So I read this book. I bought the standard copy. I haven't bought like the special variant or anything like that. To be honest, I could take or leave Blowback, the Peter Tomasi one. I was kind of like, yeah, guy, I get you guys. We've got to go first. You're on the book at the moment, so this is kind of like you need to go in there. The Masterclass with the Bat Family, I thought was a lot of fun. It was Damien was always like, oh yeah, it's Killer Croc, and everyone's trying to talk him out of it. I like the Steph Brown and Barbara Gordon bit. I thought that was canny. That was decent. I didn't mind Rookie. It felt a little bit like the Batman versus Superman movie. You know, where the cops come to rescue the girls that are held up in the thing, and the cops are all like still out there, I suppose. So, I liked Four by Kelly Sue DeConnick, mainly because I also like John Romita Jr. He's one of my favorite artists. So that was fine. The Dan Jurgens Generations one, I could have taken or leaving, but it's an advert for a book coming up down the line. So all in all, I think there's a lot more to enjoy than not to enjoy in this. Mm-hmm. Is it worth the extra books? The extra De Niro? Is that how we pronounce it? De Niro? De Niro?
Niro.
In Spanish? De Niro. I don't know if it's worth all that. Could they have dropped a couple? Maybe. But overall, I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was decent, though.
Like I said, it was a fun read.
Yeah, fun read. A fun read all the way around. I would have liked to see more differentials between the decades. And for all, whilst everyone's talking about it's 1,000 issues of Batman, you've also got to think it's 1,000 issues of Commissioner Gordon, who was also in Batman 27. So why could we have a... Why could we not have a James Gordon story? But hey,
I know it's a crying shame.
No one cares.
That's true.
Thanks. All right, okay. Next up, we're keeping it bat-ish. Catwoman 25 dropped. We've got a new writer. We've got Ram V, who spent time over on The Savage Shores over at Vault Comics before taking on some Justice League Dark annual work. He's written a couple of issues of Catwoman previously. Regular writer now, Ram V. Art is by Fernando Blanco and John Paul Leon. Colors are by FCO Placencia. I know I probably said that wrong. Letters, Tom Napolitano, and also Ariana Maya. All right, here we go. Three stories. Catwoman 25. Freya, what do you think of Catwoman 25? Let's take the first story first. Let's not try to do the whole thing. Let's just do the main story first, and then we'll touch on the others. Yeah. So, there you go.
So I didn't know Catwoman was a flamenco dancer. So that's a new thing.
Lady and the Tiger.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know which origin story we're going with, but that one was. Honestly, I didn't really like that one all too well, mostly because it just, I'm always confused as to why these supervillains would work together for a heist of all things, especially freaking Catwoman. Like, Riddler working with Penguin and Catwoman, why? Why would he do that? They have their own goons to do this crap for them. They don't go, hey, want to team up? They don't usually team up for things, and this is exactly why, because Catwoman, oh yeah, I'm screwing you all over, and Penguin's like, yeah, I knew you were gonna screw us over. I'm like, why even be teaming up? Like, it's just ridiculous. Also, the second story, why is she moving? Sorry. That's really like that. She's like, oh, cool. I'm going to move to another place and I'm going to. I don't know. It didn't make sense. It just felt like a filler story that didn't mean anything because I didn't know Catwoman had a soft spot for kids now because I thought she didn't really give a crap about people.
you got to remember Holly Robinson.
Yeah, but Holly was her sister, wasn't she?
No, she's just a kid she picked up on the streets.
I thought she was her sister.
No, I don't think so.
I thought she was her sister in some versions.
Oh, well, I'm not sure. I'd go on the no on that one, but whilst we'll check. Here we go. Where's my?
There's a simple answer for it. Damn it, Barry Allen.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really like the artwork in the second story either, mostly because of the bird on page, 30?
Yes.
That bird. It just completely ruins everything. It's stupid just...
Stupid bird.
Yeah, the whole thing was kind of weird. And Catwoman, I don't know why we're so fascinated with making her, more and more a hero, kind of like Harley Quinn. I'm like, can't we just keep her... an anti-hero or a villain, because she's more interesting as those, not like, I'm going to take a liking to kids, or she's not fun as a hero, I'm sorry, she's not, she was fun as a villain, and that's why she should stay a villain, because they get boring when they become a hero, then all of a sudden they have some moral code, and they're like, oh, I can't do that because I'm a good person now. I'm like, yeah, no, you're not interesting anymore. So that's my main issue with Calvin right now, is that everyone's so obsessed with making her more like a freaking superhero than keeping her as a villain, and it bugs the crap out of me.
Fair enough.
She's more boring now. Sorry, but she is. When she's not being a villain and, stealing stuff, like the last story made more sense because she's chilling with Kat and she's robbing stuff. That makes more sense. But I don't. Overall, I didn't really like this too much, so I'm just not going to so much on that.
All right, fair enough. Josh, Catwoman 25. What did you think?
I enjoyed the first story the most out of the three. Partly because, for whatever reason, the Penguin was my favorite character in the whole story.
Okay.
I mean, we've seen these three work together in previous episodes of the Joker War, and I realize that this is part of the collateral damage of the Joker War. But just for whatever reason, I just enjoyed the dynamic the Penguin brought to this particular book.
Okay.
So it has nothing to do with Catwoman. It was all Penguin for me. I'm with Freya. The second story, stupid bird. And then the last story, Cat versus Woman. It was okay. I don't know. I think the last couple pages of that story, the interaction between her cat and Catwoman, was really the best part of the whole story. Okay. But that was about it. It was the first story that I enjoyed the most out of the three.
All right. Okay. So the first one, as you've said, is part of the collateral damage storyline. So it shows how, to a certain extent, Bruce Wayne's getting his cash back. Yeah, you don't think they expect them to trust Catwoman, but hey ho, there you go. That's the thing about cats, right? One minute they love you, one minute they want to claw your eyes out. I found the whole resolution of Bruce getting his cash back a little bit too simple. It's like, ooh, the bad guy did this, so we're going to do exactly the same thing to get the money back. As if, like, you know, someone would not have figured that out. The underbroker would have sussed it. But hey-ho, whatever.
It's Gotham. What do you expect?
Yeah. I liked the idea. I think the idea was well presented. The whole bit where she's there at the computer deciding what to do reminded me a lot of Arkham City. Mm-hmm. You know, the bit where she's like, has a choice. She can either go and save Batman or she can leave with the cash.
Oh, you know how many times I left with the cash?
Oh, loads. I've done it loads of times.
I play that scene all over and over again. It was great.
Yeah. So the art is okay. I liked the Lady and the Tiger panels. I thought they really worked. I thought some of the movement in the regular story, the regular part of it, to be a little bit wooden. And I'm still annoyed that Catwoman doesn't look great. You know, she doesn't look sexy or feisty. You know what I'm saying? You look at Black Cat, and Black Cat's sexy and feisty. Catwoman just doesn't have that at the minute. The second story, yeah, it is a bit dull as, but it's setting up the new ongoing element. You know, these kids are going to be part of this story now. You know, my only issue, I guess, is why she had to move to another burb of Gotham. We already have the Narrows and the Bowery. Could she not have used one of those? And at least that would have been, you know, something for us older fans rather than yet another element. Last story, depending on your point of view, depending on whether and your mood, it depends. It's either cheese on toast or it's pure charm. Right? Mm. So now I'm a cat fan. I have a cat called Nokia. And you've probably seen her on the pod more times than not. But for me, that's how I think my cat thinks. Like, that whole bit where she goes, oh, it must be a devious trap. And then it's like food. He goes, oh, well played, human, well played.
Well played, woman.
Yeah. It's like that whole thing. That's when I look at my cat, I can see my cat scheming, like, what can I get out of this? You know, but, you know. Personally, I really like Ram V. He's one of my favorite writers. Came to my attention last year on these Savage Shores. I've interviewed him on OTP. Go check it out. And honestly, what a clever guy, what a good writer. So I'm hoping that he turns this book around, because for me, I think Catwoman's been in the doldrums for the entirety of her current run. This run has been very, very miss and miss for me. So hopefully Ram V can turn it around.
Yep. No.
Right, before we jump into our last two books, one of which is the ongoing Batman 99 and the whole Joker War thing, here's an advert for the up-and-coming Comic Crusaders Virtual Con 2. Pay attention, boys and girls. There is a change in times. You're not getting 12 hours of fun anymore. It's a good 15 hours. Take a listen to this. Welcome back to the Definitive Crusade with me, your host, Johnny the Machine Hughes, Random Dude Josh, and Freya. Right. Two down, two to go. It's time to go back in time. Play some harp music, audio visual guy. Injustice Year Zero, number 6. Written by Tom Taylor, art by Rog Antonio, colours by Rian Barrido, and letters by Wes Abbott. Freya, this is your call. This is your choice. Take it away.
So, I initially picked this because, you know, Justice Society and all that jazz and whatnot. So, I'm not going to say I regret the choice completely because I don't.
Tell the fans what you were going to pick.
Huh?
Tell them what you were going to pick instead. What was your first choice?
Nah, that was just a blind choice. I was gonna do it, but we'll stick with it.
I won't throw you under the bus, but readers, if you wanna, you know, DM me, by all means, I'll let you in on the secret. But I'm not gonna throw Freya under the bus right now. So there you go.
Yeah, well, I mean, so with this one, honestly, I kind of enjoyed the story. It's interesting to have Joker with, you know, superpowers, I guess. Because I don't know why it has to be Joker, though, again, because everything is freaking Joker again. It's just freaking annoying. But it could have been anyone else. Could have been the freaking Riddler. But no, we're going to be stuck with Joker with superpowers. There, Joker, and he's in every freaking book. Just like how Batman's in every book, even with, though it's Batman, but that's besides the point. Anyway, story-wise, it was interesting. Joker's controlling Green Lantern, but not our Green Lantern, like the old-school Green Lantern, because time travel and all that jazz. Artwork-wise, I didn't like it, like, at all. Everything was purple and green, so I can't even say I like the colors because everything's purple and green. Everything's purple and green. Everyone's wearing purple and green. Joker's wearing purple. The only person not wearing purple and green is Harley Quinn. She's wearing her black and red. So everyone's purple and green. Purple and green. Everything is purple and green. The lighting's purple. Shadows are purple. Also, if our man is supposed to be there, where the frick is our man? Like, is he on getting punched? Like, where the frick is he? I thought. Yeah. So where's our man? That's my question. Because Joker just walked on in, and then it's like I thought. Someone's screwing up on their job. So I blame them for Wesley's death. I blame him. It's all his fault. But other than that, like, the story is not bad. Art-wise, I don't think I'll be reading it continually again, even though, like I said, the story is not bad. So, freaking artwork, man. Also, the blood on page, from page 18, he's bleeding out his nose and his mouth. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden on 19, it goes from red to yellow.
Goes from blood to snot.
Exactly.
There you go.
Also, when Green Lantern Joker starts freaking out, I did nice move on them doing the Dark Metals Batman versions all creakied out. That was nice. However, I'm still sick of the Joker who laughs, or the Batman who laughs.
It's Judge Death.
Judge Death, yeah. So.
Judge Death.
Him, but, you know, it is what it is, so. Whatever.
Right. Okay. Whew. I just hope they don't put all this in the video game. Josh, Injustice Year Zero, number 6. What do you think? Did you like it?
Purple and green. Purple and green.
Purple and green should never be seen.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely yes. I don't know about you, but it was weird seeing Joker dressed up like a freaking Power Ranger.
I think that has something to do with how he's got control of
the Green Lantern. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't. To be fair, I read the first 3 issues of this. Then I didn't pick it up after that. So I don't know if he's got some sort of the purple and green. Is it a nod to Lex? Is it a nod to Brainiac?
It kind of looks like Dr. Fate because the symbol on his chest.
Oh. Or is it? No, not Dr. Fate. Is Captain Chaos?
Ah.
It was one of your Jeopardy questions.
Dude, do you think I actually remember the questions?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've just got them
all. Well, you know, that's what Google's for. No, not Captain Chaos. No, it's... It has to do with Dr. Fate. It was like the villain who... What?
Is it Dr. I can't even say it. Dr. Mordred? Yeah, sure is. That's a Mordred. So it's pronounced something like that. I don't know. We'll have to Google it. We'll have to find out.
Something along those lines. But that was weirding me out. The picture of the Justice League. I didn't like how they did the faces because it made all the women look like men. Sorry, but they don't. Superman's smile was creepy as hell. The only part of this book that I enjoyed was when Joker lost control of Green Lantern and they both plummeted. It was just like, oh. Well, that was okay. All right, then. You know, sick and twisted and... All right. Just like the story, it killed everything, and hopefully that ends the story in itself, but, you know, no. Purple and green.
Purple and green, never be seen. As I said, I've missed out the other 2 issues. 1 through 3 were fine. Then I kind of dropped off, you know, I've just had too much stuff to read, I guess. There's an episode of classic Star Trek in which it's called the Romulan Incident, and Captain Kirk's disguised as a Romulan. He boards a Romulan ship, and then he goes up to the Romulan guard who's guarding the cloaking device, and he turns around and says to him, "There's an intruder on the ship." And the guard goes, "Well, how'd you know?" And then Kirk does him in. This was the 60s. I don't know how stories haven't changed since that time. That's like 40 odd years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe longer. You know, you kind of think, so the bad Alan Scott Green Lantern who's infiltrating the Justice Society, goes up and says, somebody's infiltrating the Justice Society. And then, you know, I'm like, really, that's the best we could come up with? I mean, I like Tom Taylor. I think he's written some fantastic stuff. I don't know if this is kind of just flying under the radar because it's digital only or digital first. But I just think it's just kind of a little bit lame.
Mm-hmm.
It really knocks me because I really liked the first arc with Batman in daylight and the cops are giving him grief and he's like just answering the questions, you know. And it's, I liked a little bit of banter there. I thought that was fun. But other than that, I mean, the art is all, the art hit and miss like nobody's business. I don't get how the Justice Society look quite young, with the exclusion of Black Canary. We've got to change the age of the Justice Society Canary to, you can sort of, it stands out from the regular one, but yeah. Still, I don't know. I didn't like the art. I'm with Freya on this. No, not good at all. Not my cup of tea, which is a shame because you all know how much I love the Injustice video game.
Mm-hmm.
At least the mobile version. At least the mobile
version. Yeah. Oh, well, I just looked it up that Joker got superpowers because he has the amulet of
Apophis? Who?
Apophis?
All right, okay, cool.
Apophis. It has something to do with Hot Girl, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So everyone's like, ah, right, I get it now. It makes complete nonsense. I mean, sense.
I've never heard of the amulet.
Which one? I'll leave it to you to decide.
It is
what it is. All right, okay, there you go. So, the coup de grace, the book that everybody waits for every fortnight. We are talking about the penultimate episode of the Joker War. This is part 5 in Batman 99, written by James Tynion IV, art by Jorge Jimenez, colors by Tomei Mori, letters by Clayton Cowles. There you go. There's a lovely Batman and Nightwing cover on the book that has absolutely nothing to do with the comic. So, hey ho. Josh, this is your call. Mm-hmm. You stated your case quite vehemently. I remember a few eps back when you said, I am going to be doing this. So, mm-hmm. You're going to hoist you by your own petard for this one, my friend.
That's fine. So, continuing on, Batman has called in everyone for this. I was really excited to see all of the Bat family there. Even characters I didn't know. Orphan. Okay.
You don't know Orphan?
Didn't really care to.
It's Cassandra Cain. Do not miss Cassandra Cain. Do you know how much?
Spoiler was there. So we had Stephanie Brown. So there we go.
Hey, Steph, great. But okay. The internet loves Cassandra Cain. It's like bonkers in love with Cassandra Cain.
Yeah. I mean, the one weird thing. So we have Red Hood. We have Dick Grayson. Finally, we have Dick back. Signal, Orphan, Red Robin. Spoiler and Batgirl. Where the hell is Damian?
That's what I was going to say.
Well, do you know where Damian is? You know what happened? Teen Titans Annual is what happened. Damian's disavowed himself of the bat.
Still, this is one of those moments where you think he would have still come back. I mean, hell, Dick Grayson and Red Hood are there.
What makes me laugh about that whole scene is that they call him Red Robin.
And I know.
Robin. So, come on, editors, get with it.
Yeah, it's whatever. I did feel like this was, yet again, another filler issue, gearing up for the final battle between Joker and Batman. Shocker. I did like the artwork in this. I thought it was spot on. Seeing Alfred as the zombie, which we know is not real because his head did his old thing. But, I mean, that panel was so well done. I didn't really... Yeah, it was a filler issue. I feel like Clown Killer in there was like a pointless cameo. Because he just stood there. Holding a goon. Like, okay. That's cool. The conversation between Batman and Harley is back to the whole, I'm going to kill him. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Fine. If he kills you, I'm killing him because you can't stop me. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I could have done without that conversation, but of course, Harley is part of the story. I don't know if you guys noticed, but when... Punchline, who I'm, to be honest, was a little disappointed she didn't have more in this book than just like one page. Yeah, she got caught by Batman, but I found it interesting that Joker's like, it happens. You know, he didn't really give her a whole lot of hell. If it was Harley, it would have been completely different.
Nah.
So, or maybe it's Joker just doing Joker things, and who knows what the hell he'll do. And then we see the bat suit.
Hey, on one hand, sorry if I'm going to spoil someone's punchline. Ba-bum-tsh. On one hand, you've got the Batman who laughs. This one, you've got the Joker who Batmans. Of course it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, I think the improved bat suit or Joker suit. Yes, now you're gonna have to read the book. I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it at all.
You've been sniffing Joker venom. What would your Dr. Pepper fans think if you found out you were, you know, drinking Joker venom?
Still better than Diet Coke.
True that. Yeah. Oh, true that. All right. Okay, cool.
Well, this is not. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, it's a filler issue. It's leading up to the conclusion of the Joker War.
Okay, cool.
So I'm excited to see this story come to an end. It's been fun.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Freya, Batman 99.
So, artwork was great. For the most part, except freaking Dick Grayson has doe legs or something wrong with his calves. Did you notice that? Like, he has massive thighs and itty bitty little stick calves.
I think that's kind of style, because if you look at the panel with where they're all stood together, Batgirl's legs are absolutely Yeah, she has exactly the same.
They're also like, bowed, so it's just creepy. I don't like it. I disagree with the style choice.
Do you know what makes me laugh the most? I get that it's a style choice. And I know there's supposed to be perspective in this, but that group panel that you're talking about, look how long Dick Grayson's and Batgirl's legs are. And then look how big Orphan actually is or how tall she is.
Yeah.
In comparison, you've got to think, well, you know what? She's stood nearer the back. She should be the same relative height as
Signal. Yeah, but she may be standing on like the skylight, the same thing that Red Robin is sitting on.
Nah.
Stand on
the... I don't know. It just looks a bit wonky to me, but Freya, I can't be with you on this one.
I'm also with Josh on the whole of Harley Quinn is with the Bat family, but Damien, you know... The actual flesh and blood of the bat is not there. because you have to read Titans. I'm like, no, screw that. This is supposed to be a Batman book. Why do you have to read Titans?
I didn't write it. I'm just saying that's what happened.
Honestly, it's false advertising because in the last issue, Batman said, and I quote, I'm calling everyone.
Everyone. Where the frick is Damian? Here's the thing. Just because he's not part of the quote-unquote bat anymore, he's still going to be Damian, and Damian enjoys this type of crap. What is he going to be doing? Sitting at the Wayne Mansion, which everything's currently on fire, playing video games? Where is he? Like, legit, where is he? Gotham's on fire. What is he doing? Well, he'd still be there. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's lazy, and why do we have to have Harley? Guess what? Slap Damian where Harley is, and it'd make more sense. Then have Harley come up later to Batman, and then that would make more sense because she's not really part of the Bat family. They're just trying to like shoehorn her in because it's freaking Harley Quinn. And that, why is she also asking permission from Batman to kill Joker? Why is she doing that? Why doesn't she just do what she wants? Because it's Harley Quinn. You know, he's not her boss. So why is she asking permission to kill Joker? It's stupid. And sorry. Anyway, moving on from that. This is a filler issue. Also, I don't know why Dick Grayson's going to take the time to change his suit. I mean, he's already in a suit, and they could have played off that he's still under Joker's mind control, I guess. But maybe because I missed that issue, I don't understand why they're not playing that off. Also, with the whole thing of him, Joker, not being irritated at
Punchline.
Getting caught. He's one of the three Jokers. So this is just how particular Joker reacts to that sort of thing, because I don't think this particular Joker actually gives a shit about Punchline. I don't even know which one was the one who was having a thing with her, because there's three of them. So which one was the one that was actually having a thing with her? Was it this one, or was it one of the other two?
Joker's actually within
control.
So yeah, I think that's why he's like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. You know. Also, he shot his driver, so is he going to be driving the Joker mobile afterwards, or is he just gonna fly in his super suit? I don't know. But this whole thing is just filler. I did like the panel on I guess page 15 where it's the frontal shot of Batman just walking. Mm-hmm. That was a really well done page. I even like the one where he's falling from the sky and it has the nice bat shadow.
The one falling out the sky was 15. The one where he's walking is 16.
Yeah.
Page 16 is going to become my new phone wallpaper.
It's really nicely done. But yeah, this was just a filler. Like I said, they take one step and then they start doing little baby steps, and then they're going to take a step and then little baby steps, because pacing with these stories sucks.
harsh.
It's true. With every single event book that we've had for the past couple of years, it's the same thing. It starts off pretty good and then it just like stops, and we get a bunch of filler issues, and then they take a little baby step and then it stops again with more filler issues, and we progress the plot again, and then we get to like the last book and then everything's rushed.
Okay, well, I get your point. I do get your point, but I don't think this issue, and same with Josh, I get your points as well. I don't think this issue is a filler in essence. I think this issue has to be part of the storyline to drive that lead up to that confrontation. I think probably the drug issues where Batman's high on whatever he was high on, I think there's probably, as we said last time, one issue too many in that bit, which has then delayed it. But I think this issue has to be in there. Batman has to be seen to bring the family back together. And it's got to have that sort of resonance, I think. I enjoyed the Batman Harley conversation. I think it's something that a lot of fans are having a discussion about when it comes to Batman and the Joker. If you read anything on Twitter, stuff like that, there's always a conversation kicking around as to should Batman kill Joker for all the stuff that he's done. I kind of like that, even though Batman's gone through the whole gauntlet of what he's been through over the last few issues, even going back as far as the prelude to this, because remember that was another 6 issues storyline as well. He's still at his core. He's still who he is. He's still that, you know, I'm not going to kill him. I'm not going to take a life. Of course, he has promised to be a better Batman. So what does that mean down the line? I don't know. I honestly don't know. But I think probably for me, I agree. I can see how people think this is a filler issue, but this one has to be in the storyline. Whereas maybe the ones preceding it are the ones that kind of delayed it. The art's gorgeous. The colors are fantastic. Mm-hmm. A couple of the facial elements are a little bit out of whack. When Batgirl's saying something, she's got a boy head on her, which really annoys me. And then you look further on down the line, and you've got a really good Riddler picture when he's with Catwoman, who looks gorgeous. Mm-hmm. You know, you think to yourself, how can Catwoman look gorgeous in this, but not look gorgeous in her own book, even if she is wearing the old armpit breather suit that Freya loves so much.
Although, you going on Riddler, he looks fantastic in that panel with all three of them. But then you go just to the bottom right, and his torso all of a sudden just goes, and he looks wonky as hell. He looks like Mr. Stretch It.
I think that's part of his charm, though. That's the idea. That's he's supposed to. He's not his charm, I suppose, but that's his. You know, if you look back at the Batman cartoon, not Batman the animated series, the one after that, mm-hmm. yeah, where he's voiced by Robert Englund. Yeah. He's that really lanky, tall persona. Even the Jim Carrey ones, thin and lanky.
Well, yeah, it's all paying. I think it's honestly paying tribute to Frank Gorshin.
I hope so, because I love Frank Gorshin.
Frank Gorshin was a fantastic Riddler.
Frank Gorshin and Cesar Romero are my favorite Riddler and Joker, respectively.
Mm-hmm.
Without
Okay, so that brings the question, who's the better Penguin, Burgess Meredith or Danny DeVito?
Burgess.
Okay, then.
DeVito, he went with that concept of that particular movie, mm-hmm. but he's way too disgusting to be a proper Penguin. Sorry, but he is.
Definitely. The Batman Returns movie, as much as I like it, and I like it better than I like Batman 89, it's a nightmare version of Batman. Mm-hmm. It's not Batman as from the comic book, so everything gets a little bit more darker, a little bit more twisted.
Yeah. Best version of Batman, though.
Yeah. So you kind of, but that's like, you know, Julie Newmar's still my favorite Catwoman. So.
Julie Newmar was great. Lee Merriweather wasn't bad when she filled in for Julie Newmar in the movie. They were both better than Eartha Kitt. Nothing against Eartha, but I was not a fan of Eartha Kitt whatsoever. But Eartha Kitt was better than Halle Berry.
Well, everyone's better than Halle Berry as Catwoman. Even Anne Hathaway. Is that Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway was barely Catwoman. Freaking that Halle Berry movie was awful.
I know.
Anne Hathaway is the best thing in The Dark Knight Rises. The best thing.
No, the credits were the best thing.
The credits, you had to wait 2 hours 45 minutes for those bad boys. At least she turned up early.
You know what? No. I think the best thing of that movie, and maybe this is just me, the scene when Alfred is crying and he's like, I failed you, because that has now become one of the best gifs ever, or meme, or however you want to use it.
Yeah, honestly, I like Tom Hardy as Bane, though. I know that may not be the
I
best,
wish,
but I did like him.
I like what Tom Hardy did with Bane. I just wish that they would have incorporated Venom into the Bane character.
Yeah.
Had they done that, then Yeah. Tom Hardy's Bane would have been a million times better.
I think Dark Knight Rises is very lazy in its writing. It's very, very lazy.
Well, yeah. but you have to, if you think about it, the original intent was the third movie was going to include the Joker with Heath Ledger. You know, so things changed. I think that may have thrown it for a loop.
Well, I get it. And it's absolutely tragic what happened to Heath Ledger. But that, regardless whether it's Heath as the Joker or Tom Hardy as Bane or whomever as whomever, the fact is, there's lazy writing all the way through that movie. Absolutely all the way through. And on that, we should have a TDC special on why Batman and Robin, the movie, is better than The Dark Knight Rises.
I'm all for it. Let's do it.
Batman movies, and I'll be taking notes.
Right. Okay. There you go, guys. That's it for another week. You've had four books, a quick back quiz at the start there, and of course our fantastic comments on Catwoman. There you go. Check it out. Mm-hmm. All right. All that's left for me to say is thanks to Freya. Thank you, Freya.
No problem.
Excellent. Thanks, Josh.
Always a pleasure.
And don't forget to check out the UCPN for all your favorite shows, including Freya.
K-pop Cosmos.
Hey, excellent. Josh?
Oh, I'm excited to announce Flipside Focus is coming back. So stay tuned for that because it's going to be awesome.
And of course, we've got the recent OTP dropping with an interview with Jed McKay, the writer of Black Cat. There is a fraudulent slip if I've ever heard one. Maybe the audio guy will help me out and edit that out. So I'll just say Black Cat, dead, so he can get that put in for me. Cheers, audio guy. I am so getting fired. All right. All that is for me to say, don't forget to check out UCPN. And this is Johnny the Machine Hughes saying adios.